Are you a good judge of people? It turns out to be an essential skill in hiring, collaborating, and leading in the workplace. But when assessing our colleagues, we tend to go by instinct rather than use objective or rational measures. Here to help train us in this valuable ability is organizational psychologist Richard Davis, author of the new book, Good Judgment: Making Better Business Decisions with the Science of Human Personality. Richard is the CEO of Kilberry, a firm that provides psychological assessment and development services to investors, CEOs, and corporate leaders. He's advised executives at companies like Under Armour, Best Buy, Target, and the NBA. Here he is to share five of his key insights.
My name is Richard Davis. I'm an organizational psychologist and author of Good Judgment: Making Better Business Decisions with the Science of Human Personality. I've been a psychologist for more than 20 years, and basically, I do two things. Help companies pick the right leaders and advise those leaders in navigating the complexities of their roles. In effect, my job is to provide deep insights into people and their personalities so that someone can make a good decision about someone else. I wrote Good Judgment to share some of the important lessons I've learned and help you really understand others at a deeper level so that you can make better decisions in your life as a result. Let me share five key insights from the book. The first key insight is that good judgment is about people. We tend to think about judgment as analytical decision-making, detached from the people who influence those decisions. You know, you have a choice between one action and another, and one will be right and the other will be wrong, and that will be determined based on the facts related to the decisions. A million books have been written on how to get the facts sorted out properly and how to avoid cognitive biases and that sort of thing. Well, I believe that good judgment is actually good judgment about people. Essentially, we are a function of the decisions we make in our lives, the sum total of those decisions. And most of those decisions involve people. Who you're friends with, who you date or marry, where you live and work, who you hire, how you raise your kids, all of these involve judgments about people. Many of life's most important decisions rely on who we choose to surround ourselves with and how much faith we put in them. It's not only about decisions either. How we deal with relationship issues or work situations depends on our understanding of those around us. Knowing how to effectively navigate a tricky situation, as we all do at different times in our career, hinges on our insight into the nature of the people we're dealing with. The end result is this: get better at judging others, and you'll live a happier and more successful life. The second key insight is that we have an innate human ability to understand others, a cognitive muscle I call perceptivity that enables us to have insight into people. It's my experience that super successful people have that ability, and they have a competitive advantage over others in work and in life as a result. Think about people in your life who just seem to have a sense about others. The people who are shrewd, who seem to surround themselves with other successful people. They often have happy home lives and well-adjusted kids, and they're great negotiators and always seem to come out ahead. All of this is because they understand others. They get people and what makes them tick. Now, the interesting thing is that perceptivity is a muscle we can build. You can get better at it, and we're all really advised to do that. Building perceptivity is about really getting smarter in understanding people and the nature of their dispositions and how you can use the knowledge of their personality in order to make better decisions. It also involves particular techniques helping to draw out and expose others' personality traits. That's not always easy, of course, because we make all kinds of cognitive errors in sizing people up, and people are protective in general. We have all learned these strategies to mask who we really are, but learn how to cut through the noise in sizing people up, and you end up with a kind of X-ray vision into others. It's a literal superpower that you can harness in order to make better life decisions. The third key insight is that we are at risk of losing our innate ability to read others. Perceptivity will atrophy over time if you don't use it. And we're using it less and less as a society. A big reason is that we're not looking at each other. Our heads are in our phones. We meet people through Zoom. We date people based on their profiles and pictures. And we're getting less and less comfortable talking to people in general. Our kids text rather than really talk and listen and observe. They're using ChatGPT for literally everything now because they don't know how to understand or deal with people. You know, a similar thing happened to another cognitive skill, wayfinding. We used to have a natural ability to figure out in our head how to get from point A to point B. But then what happened? GPS comes along and we can suddenly outsource this cognitive exercise. The same thing is happening with respect to our insight into others. I see it everywhere. We aren't looking at each other and paying attention. You know, if you're listening to this right now in a public space, look around. People probably have their eyes glued to their smartphones. I was actually recently struck by some signage I saw at the Toronto airport. As you exit the baggage claim area, there are now these directions brightly projected on the floor, basically light up signs on the ground, rather than traditional signage you'd normally see overhead. I'm convinced that they added these signs because people's attention is now focused down instead of up or eye level. We need to collectively look up and really pay attention to others. We need to exercise that perceptivity muscle in order to understand people and make better decisions in our lives. It's time to rediscover our childlike curiosity about others and bring this into our daily professional and personal lives. The fourth key insight is that emotional intelligence is overblown. So I argue that insight into personality is dramatically more important than EQ. And in fact, most of what you probably know about EQ is probably wrong. Let me explain. When talking about having insight into other people, everyone points to emotional intelligence. I see it everywhere. Nearly all job descriptions now have EQ as a desired candidate attribute. Online, you can find articles about every great leader in history showing signs of EQ. There are tests and courses and certifications and books and EQ consultants. What I call the EQ industrial complex fuels an entire economy around emotional intelligence. We've just sort of accepted the notion that to understand people better, you need EQ. The fact is, the research doesn't support it. It's way overblown. The original concept of EQ, developed in the late 80s and early 90s, was real. Psychologists Peter Salovey and John Mayer introduced the core concept, which they considered to be an ability, mostly to be able to recognize and understand emotions. When they published the research, frankly, it didn't raise too many eyebrows. Soon after, Daniel Goleman wrote a book on emotional intelligence, and that's when it really took off. It was literally on the cover of Time magazine as the most important thing since sliced bread. But unfortunately, there was one critical problem. Goleman had dramatically altered the concept to mean something very different from the original research, and he didn't really have the science to back it up. He made EQ into a disposition, not an ability. And the disposition was nice and all, but not EQ. So things like empathy and social acumen became EQ. And listen, I'm all for empathy. I think it's so important, but it's not EQ and it shouldn't be confused with it. As a result, though, EQ sounded great, it felt like it should be something, but it just wasn't. And besides all this, I really want to stress that emotions are no doubt helpful to understand in people, but they are fleeting states. Personality is enduring, and traits are much more predictive of behavior than states. Basically, while it's helpful to understand if a person is angry, it's much more powerful to know that they're an angry person. So don't worry so much about understanding people's emotions and instead focus your energy on understanding their core personality. The fifth key insight is the concept of the personality blueprint. So the best way to understand people is to categorize what you see into five key boxes, what I call the personality blueprint. The blueprint is based on over 100 years of research in personality psychology. Over that time, psychologists came to understand that there are five underlying fundamental personality traits. All other traits sort of fall under these categories. And thousands of research papers have now been published on this finding, to the point where we now call these the Big Five, and most psychologists agree with the structure. So I've slightly adapted those and developed a method you can use to understand people much more clearly. It goes like this. When you're meeting with someone you want to understand better, imagine you have in front of you five boxes. And they are as follows. The first, label it intellect. And in that, you're going to put insights about how the person thinks. The second box is sociability, and this is about how they engage with other people. The third box is emotionality, or how they express their feelings. The fourth box is drive, and this is about why they do what they do, or their motivations. The fifth box is diligence, and that's about how they get things done, or how they approach work. So armed with these figurative boxes in your head, every time the person says something that reveals something about their personality, imagine putting it in the corresponding box. Even better, ask questions that will help you fill up each of the boxes as much as possible. Well, after not too long at all, you'll be surprised how rich your insights are about the person, and you'll now be in a much better position to make a judgment call about them. This idea of using the structure of personality to categorize and therefore understand behavior is an important one. Think about all the information you get when you're meeting someone. You know, you're across the table from them and they're telling you about themselves. There's very rich data there, but it's difficult to keep up and hard to make sense of and overwhelming in nature. It's the too much data problem, and it makes it almost impossible to do anything with the information you're observing. An analogy I like to use is that it's much easier to carry a bunch of papers in boxes than it is to try and loosely gather them up in your arms. Stuff falls out or gets lost, and who can make sense of it all anyway? Instead, using the personality blueprint to organize and make sense of dispositional information will lead to a much better understanding of the person in front of you. So these are five big insights for you to consider. My book, Good Judgment, is filled with all kinds of rich stories and examples of how to bring these to life. I hope you enjoy it and it helps you make better decisions about people in your life. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you, Richard. That was Richard Davis with five big ideas from Good Judgment, Making Better Business Decisions with the Science of Human Personality. You might also like our book bite for Cultures of Growth, How the New Science of Mindset Can Transform Individuals, Teams, and Organizations by Mary Murphy. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.